good for people who are blind, impaired. Hello, this is Jen Rogers from the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is all about pets. For the next half hour, I shall be reading to you from The Washington Post, NBC.com, Catster.com, and Dogster Magazine. First, we'll start with an article from The Washington Post titled, Inside the Surreal World of $20,000 Pet Portraits by Britt Peterson. These fine art painters commanded top dollar to immortalize their clients' poodles and cockapoos. Alan Tudyk was looking for something special. The prolific actor, star of Resident Alien, as well as the voice of the manic chicken Hey-Hey in Moana, wanted to commission a painting to honor three beloved rescue dogs. But his visions tended to be fantastical. One idea, a portrait of his 14-year-old terrier-poodle-chihuahua goddess mix, Raisin, holding a box of matches in front of a burning school, was rejected by a British pet portraitist. We were told by his assistant he doesn't do paintings like that, Tudyk said. So he reached out to Jennifer Gennari, a painter who has been doing animal portraits in oil for nearly a decade, and she embraced it. For Gennari, Tudyk cooked up an even more ambitious concept. All three dogs in a scene of epic Boschian carnage. Against an eerie background of the dog's favorite Vancouver, BC woods, Gennari posed Lola, a Maltese who recently died at 16, atop a pile of moose carcasses, plus one dismembered human hand, blood spearing her dainty white jowls. Aunt Clara, the 12-year-old cockapoo, holds a limp boa constrictor in her jaws, and Raisin is locked down on a dead squirrel. Several coyotes are vanishing into the trees behind them, presumably fleeing in terror. We just wanted something that showed the dogs victorious over our idea of their enemies, Tudyk explained. As pet owners spend more money on their animals, a recent Bloomberg Intelligence report estimated that the $320 billion global pet industry will expand to $500 billion by 2030. They increasingly turn to fine art painters like Gennari, who can create a pet portrait worthy of a museum, or in Tudyk's case, some unholy twisted hunting lodge. These paintings aren't cheap. Tudyk's, which measured about 26 by 32 inches, cost $7,200 plus framing costs. But for the people who love them, they're worth every penny. Tudyk actually owns two paintings by Gennari, the other a smaller close-up memorial portrait of Lola that he takes with him between his homes in Vancouver and Los Angeles. It's a way of keeping her in our lives, he said. Gennari is an accidental pet portrait artist. After working as an illustrator and studying in Florence, she moved to New York and worked for Jeff Koons. In her off hours, she painted, mostly humans, and sold her paintings in a Hamptons gallery. In 2015, she painted a hairless sphinx cat, just for fun, and put it on Instagram. People loved it, she said. It sold immediately. Now, almost 10 years into what's become a major business, she gets around 20 commission requests a day, including from celebrities like Tudyk and Art World Insiders. Her oil painting prices start at a few hundred dollars and can go up to $20,000 for a large portrait with multiple animals. She earns, she says, in the six figures. I've referred to her as the greatest living animal portrait artist in the country, says Nicholas Lowry, the president of Swan Auction Galleries and an antique roadshow appraiser who owns a Gennari portrait of his Boston Terrier, Tilda. Nikki Glaser, a comedian who owns a Gennari portrait of a pig and recently commissioned another of a friend's elderly poodle mix, says she can just inject a personality and a soul into the animal that only the owner would really know. Plus, she added, Gennari's classic style just looks old as F-word. In fact, Gennari's work does draw on a long artistic tradition. Pet portraiture has been around for millennia, back to cave paintings, ancient Chinese ceramic statues, and mosaic images of guard dogs in Pompeii. In the European portrait painting tradition, pets could represent wealth and status or symbolize positive character traits in their owners. More recently, however, the genre's reputation took a downturn. It's always been very respected until maybe the early 20th century, Gennari said. All of a sudden, it became this thing where it was like, oh, I'm sorry, you only paint animals? Part of this may be the recent democratization of options. Pet portraits are more accessible than ever, and there's a wide spectrum of quality, putting fine art painters like Gennari in the tiny minority. A search for pet portraits on Etsy brings up over 5,000 results, from basic watercolors to custom Photoshop images that allow you to pose your pet in the frills of a Victorian queen or the braided epaulets of a 19th century naval officer, from $20 to $150. For deeper-pocketed pet owners, however, there are other options. Anthony Barham paints in what he calls a Victorian-esque chocolate box traditional style, and has painted pets belonging to the late Senator John W. Warner and other elite Virginian animal lovers. Scott Lenhart, a graphic artist who also designs snowboards, does elegant portraits in acrylic on oval-shaped pieces of wood. Erica Ericsdotter specializes in portraits of animals who have recently died. Jape Henry, who started his career as an illustrator for Nylon and Vice, paints watercolors of pets wearing giant hoop earrings or in Susi Sue makeup. Much of their business originates on Instagram, but most of the resulting portraits are based on photos. The Barham often works from videos, which he believes give a better sense of the animal's personality. He was recently commissioned to paint two poodles around a dining room table, being served food and drink by squirrels in kilts. Another owner requested a painting of their pet beaver lounging on a sofa eating strawberries. Henry has painted parakeets in evening wear, rabbits in top hats, a poodle in 1940s glam, a one-eyed cat named Winky with a blue jay on his shoulder. People do know the personality of their pet. They know exactly what they want to see, he said. Whether it's their dog in Eugene Levy glasses or a cat pose like Dirk Diggler-style 70s porn star. For other owners, a highly realistic portrayal of their animal can provide comfort and connection. Ericsdotter works closely with clients to create vivid memorial portraits. I tap into the animals and I feel them in the studio with me as they come alive on the canvas, she said. And I capture that in my portraits so the clients can feel how their fur felt and the way their pets gazed up at them. For her clients, she said, the creation of a memorial portrait is more than a high-end pet portrait. It is an experience, a peaceful journey that leads to a healing place, Lenhart described a similar connection to the animals he paints. People have asked, how do you know you're done? My answer to that is usually when the animal blinks. The artists and their clients view the portraits as having unique and very special value that merits the high price tag. There's some people who like to go to Petco and buy the same jacket that everybody has, says Nicholas Lowry, the auctioneer. But a fine art portrait like his Gennari painting is meaningful because it's so personalized. For Alan Tudyk, the value is extremely personal. During walks with Lola, Aunt Clara, and Raisin, he would envision the bloody scene in such detail that he is very clear on how exactly these tiny dogs would have subdued their much larger victims. For Lola and the moose, I'm pretty sure it was just a leap into the jugular. You gotta take out the biggest one first. Aunt Clara, with the boa, thought it was fun and just shook the giant snake around like it was a toy. Well, Raisin killed the squirrel just to be a part of it, but she didn't want to exert herself too much. Gennari, in her efforts to render Tudyk's concept faithfully, had to look up all these weird photos for reference. My gosh, I was not thrilled to have on my laptop. But she didn't mind in the end. She found Tudyk's vision sweet. I think people experience a lot of complications, she said, talking about her clients in general. Love between two people is extremely complicated. With animals, however, the ease and honesty of that relationship generates a love that's very pure. Pet portraits at their best capture and preserve that pure love, becoming a physical manifestation of how the owner feels about their animal. As a lifelong animal lover herself, Gennari is also concerned for the pet's experience. All of this attention goes towards painting people, she said. I just didn't want animals to feel forgotten about. Next, we'll move on to an article from NBC.com titled, Mariska Hargitay Helps Unveil a Statue to Support Domestic Violence Survivors with Pets, by Stephanie Gomulka. The new statue is from fearless girl artist Kristen Bisbal. Mariska Hargitay is championing the meaningful initiative to support survivors with pets. As part of its ongoing Purple Leash project, the pet food company Purina partnered with the Law & Order Special Victims Unit actress to reveal a new statue highlighting an issue many survivors face in the U.S. when looking to leave an abuser. Less than 20% of domestic violence shelters allow pets. The idea that 50% of victims of domestic violence stay longer in their abusive relationship because they're concerned about their pet's safety, and Purina is looking to make shelters pet-friendly, was so moving and meaningful to me. Hargaday told NBC Insider in a sit-down interview about the partnership. Portraying Captain Olivia Benson means the actress and producer is no stranger to listening to survivor stories. Survivors of domestic violence often live in isolation, and the idea that they could bring their families with them and their entire family with them is so healing, Haggerty says. Haggerty, highlighting the healing benefits of allowing survivors to move forward safely with their pets. We must do everything that we can to support survivors. Artist Kristen Visbal designed Fearless Girl, a statue of a young girl which debuted staring down the well-known Charging Bull near Wall Street. Her latest bronze work of art, Courageous Together, shows a woman with her hair in a ponytail, a bag slung over her shoulder, and a dog by her side, connected by a vibrant purple leash. It's so powerful. It's so elegant, Hargaday said about her initial reaction to seeing the statue. I was really, really bowled over, but also what I found so stunning was the determination and strength in her face and the way the dog is looking at her so lovingly. Haggerty views the statue as a conversation starter. It's a stunning piece of art which also invites the conversation and invites people to confront something that is historically and understandably difficult for people to talk about. With the help of grants, the goal of the larger project is to ensure at least a quarter of all DV shelters offer pet-friendly services by the end of 2025, according to its website. Hargaday has a cat named Kaya, a dog named Kaya, and a cat named Karma. Her cat's name is inspired by Taylor Swift's Midnight's track and a sweet response to the Grammy winner naming one of her beloved cats after SVU's Olivia Benson. Playing Benson was a catalyst to learn more about the staggering statistics about sexual assault and hearing from real survivors. As a result, she founded the Joyful Hearts Foundation, an organization focused on changing society's response to DV, better support survivors, and to end abuse. Where can you see this new Courageous Together statue? Hargaday posed with the statue this week in New York at its unveiling. If you take it in, there's a visceral response that we have to it, Hargaday said about Courageous Together. The statue will continue to make appearances in several spots across the country this year. To kick things off, it'll be at the Westminster Kennel Club Dog Show from May 11th to the 14th in Queens, New York. Next, we'll move on to an article from Catster.com titled, How Big is a Cat Brain? Vet Explains Feline Anatomy by Dr. Samantha Devine, DVM. If you own a cat, you've probably wondered how intelligent they are. After all, sometimes they can be silly goofballs, while at other times they can find their way to harass you in the bathroom in the pitch black of the night with their mouse toy. So, how big is a cat's brain? And does that brain size equate to intelligence? Your cat's brain is roughly 2 inches long. It only weighs about an ounce, which puts your cat's brain at about 1% of their body weight. The size of a cat brain. Purely based on size, a dog's brain is larger than a cat's brain. A cat's brain is slightly larger than a walnut, while a dog's brain is roughly the size of a tangerine. It's not necessarily the size that equates how smart an animal is. The structures and surface folding determine how intelligent an organism is. Cats have a brain structure more similar to ours than to a dog's brain. In fact, their brain is about 90% identical to ours. So think about the next time you're wondering how smart your kitty is. Don't panic and start worrying about the cat overlords taking over, however. We have a significant difference in the number of neurons in our cerebral cortex. Cats have roughly 300 million, and we have 21 to 26 billion neurons in the same structure in our brain. Dogs tend to have more neurons than cats, which is likely because they have a larger brain size. In dogs, there's more development of the social cognition portion of the cerebral cortex, while in cats, a more significant portion is devoted to movement and vision. That means each pen tends to be better at something different than the other. How do cats use their brains? Your cat's brain helps regulate every aspect of their life and the driving force for cats to be crepuscular. Animals like cats that are crepuscular are primarily active in the dawn and twilight hours and allows them to prey on smaller animals that are also crepuscular. Other animals that exhibit this behavior include deer, opossums, hamsters, and skunks. Based on this behavior pattern, don't be surprised if your kitty wakes you in the pre-dawn hours. It's instinct. They're not trying to torture you. Cats do other things differently than our canine friends. For example, if you have an outdoor cat who likes to hunt, you should also know that they will keep hunting even if they've eaten already. This behavior differs from dogs, who typically stop hunting after eating. The five cat senses. What your cat can detect with such a small brain is pretty impressive. Their brain allows for them to uniquely utilize their senses to help them survive in their environment. 1. Sight. Your cat's eyes can see incredibly well, even in a dark environment. Cats have a structure known as a tapetum lucidum in their eyes, which help reflect photons of light back onto the retina, allowing them to have a second chance to utilize the light and see. Cats also have more rods in their eyes than a person. These photoreceptor cells function best in dim light, allowing your cat to see better in the dark than you. The difference in rods and cones also affects the colors that the cats see in the world. 2. Taste. Cats don't have the same way to sense taste that you do. While we have around 9,000 taste buds, our kitties only have a few hundred taste buds. What is especially interesting about this is that cats don't seem to be able to taste sweet things. If your cat is trying to get to your sweets, like whipped cream or ice cream, it's not likely the sugary goodness they're after, but the fats they're attracted to. They can taste bitter and associate it with danger or poison, so watch out if you're using lemon spray. 3. Hearing. Your cat's ears are also very helpful for navigating the world around them. The slightly cone-shaped pinna helps direct sound into the middle ear and allows your cat to pinpoint the source of the sound. 4. Touch. Cats also have interesting ways to navigate through touch. Their whiskers provide signals as your cat winds their body through narrow spaces. Aside from the whiskers, they have touch receptors in their paws and nose. 5. Smell. Cats rely heavily on their sense of smell. If your cat has a respiratory infection, they may have trouble scenting their food, which leads to many kitties refusing to eat. Cats also have a unique structure called the vomeronasal organ. Located behind the upper incisors in their mouth, this structure helps cats detect and process pheromones. Speaking of pheromones, your cat produces them from any array of places, including between their toes and their anal glands. And there are some frequently asked questions at the end of the article. What are the main parts of your cat's brain? Your cat has a nervous system similar to your own. There are two parts to the central nervous system, or CNS, the brain, the spinal cord. These structures can be further divided. For example, the major parts of the brain include the cerebellum, the cerebrum, the brainstem. Are cats getting less intelligent? We can't quite compare measurements of how intelligent your cat is compared to their ancestors, but scientists have been studying the size of how cats' brains have changed. They're getting smaller. According to the study, house cats may have undergone a 25% reduction in the size of their brain when compared to European and African wild cats, their wild cousins. Conclusion. Your cat's brain is unique and allows them to be amazing hunters. Even if we can't make an easy determination about whether cats or dogs are more intelligent, they're still wonderful members of our families. Next, we'll move on to an article from Dogster magazine titled, What's Up with the Pandemic Pups? By Rachel Bricks. You may have heard dogs born in 2020 to 2021 called pandemic puppies or dogs. These dogs developed behavioral issues relating to growing up on lockdown. If this describes your dog, he may need help navigating a world outside COVID lockdown, as he did not get to socialize with other dogs during the important formative time. This resulted in adult dogs who struggle with socialization, overreactivity, and separation-related issues. The ASPCA estimates 1 in 5 households adopted either a cat or a dog during spring and winter of 2020, and 90% of these dogs remain in those homes. Generation P's biggest problems stem from a lack of proper socialization. Right alongside us, pandemic puppies lived very sheltered lives for a year or longer. Therefore, they didn't get the necessary exposure and experiences to help navigate new situations confidently. Socialization remains one of the simplest yet most complex components of dog behavior. It's also arguably the most important. In short, socialization is the process of acclimating dogs to live comfortably with other dogs and humans, places, objects, and activities. Dogs have very definitive points in their development where socialization takes place. The general estimate for this developmental window is between 3 to 16 weeks, where dogs' brains are the most receptive to novelty. Proper socialization involves distinctly positive experiences or potentially negative experiences turned into positive experiences. In short, no negative experiences and a wealth of stellar ones. But Generation P's flat-out lack of many of these experiences has led to fear and anxiety when faced with newness. So how do you expose your fearful dog to new things? Don't throw her into the deep end of the pool. Be her emotional support human and hold her paw while she tries to learn to navigate new things in life, whether it's meeting new dogs, people, or experiencing new things. Always work to create positive associations and set her up for success. Start socializing now. Although you can't reduce socialization, you can help minimize your dog's overreactivity, stress, and fear. Don't force the issue or allow your dog to rehearse or practice undesirable behaviors, such as barking, lunging, growling, and snapping. Distance is your BFF when looking to expose your dogs to other dogs in a positive way. Follow these socialization steps. 1. Choose neutral territory that's safely contained. 2. Minimize most, ideally all, distractions. 3. Start with dogs on short leashes from as far away as necessary, where your dog is interested but not overreacting. 4. Carefully gauge body language as you slowly decrease the space between them. 5. If either dog shows signs of stress, stop and retreat. 6. Try again if the dogs are calm. If not, try a different day or a different dog. 7. If all is well, drop the leashes but keep them on a bit in case you need to act quickly. 8. Keep interaction short and sweet. End on a positive note. 9. Repeat. If your dog can't handle being in an enclosed space with another dog without being overreactive, call in a pro for help with proper desensitization techniques. Separation-related issues. When people with pets began returning to work or work from home but returned to socializing themselves, our puppies turned adolescents were left alone for the first time in, well, forever. Many of these dogs developed separation-related behaviors such as barking, howling, inappropriate chewing, house soiling, panting, pacing, drooling, and other destructive habits. These behaviors may subside after about 15 to 20 minutes after you leave, or things could be more serious and be full-blown separation anxiety. Separation anxiety in dogs is often used as a catch-all phrase for problems when dogs are left alone. However, true separation anxiety is a much more serious problem, which can be likened to a panic attack in humans. It likely needs the help of a professional trainer and even your vet, because medications may be part of the treatment plan. Management strategies for separation-related issues include desensitizing your dog to your absence and teaching and reinforcing calm behaviors when you're home. This includes while you're getting ready to leave, which can often trigger dogs to the fact that you're about to leave. Follow these steps. Exercise. Be sure your dog gets enough physical and mental stimulation each day. You have hobbies, devices, friends, work, etc. Your dog only has you. Fill up her life with the good stuff. Break up the day. Come home for lunch or arrange for someone to pay a visit for playtime and petting while you're gone. Minimize disturbances. Close the blinds, leave the TV on. Prevent your dog from being stressed by outside things, unless your dog likes gazing out into the backyard or lying in beams of sunlight on the floor. There's an app for that. Many apps help you monitor, talk to, treat, and even interact with your dog while you're away. Dogs do not get back at us for leaving them or act out of spite or anger. Separation-related behaviors are usually directly related to stress, anxiety, and even fear he feels when you leave. Your dog didn't develop her issues overnight, and she won't get over them overnight either. It boils down to this. You both needed each other during the pandemic, and while you love your dog, she probably needs you now more than ever. You may not have your dream dog, but with support, patience, and lots of love, you can both be living the dream together. Next, we'll move on to Wags, my favorite. Meet Ona, the 5K racing Yorkie. One could say that Ona, a spunky 12-year-old Yorkshire Terrier, has enjoyed a bright and breezy lifestyle over the years, soaking up the sun in Southern California. Lots of beach days, a comfy warm bed, and a big pile of plush toys. What more could she want? Well, as it turns out, she wants to run. 50 races and counting. Weighing in at just 6 pounds and standing at a mere 6 inches from the ground, Ona is a seasoned long-distance racer. In the last 6 years, she's completed 55K runs with an average pace just over an 8-minute mile. As the adage goes, don't judge a book by its cover. This dog can run. I started hiking with Ona after she turned 3 and she loved it, says Ona's dad, California Highway Patrolman Jeff Jones. She always has so much energy. As an experienced long-distance runner himself, Jeff decided to sign both of them up for their first race together at the Homeward Bound 5K run in 2016. We'd already done several long hikes in the past, but I didn't know how she would do running long distance. When they reached the halfway mark, Jeff tells me he stopped and offered Ona a quick water break. She refused and just wanted to keep running, he says. People were shouting, "The dog deserves a medal," as we ran by. Soon after, the duo signed up for several more races, and thus Ona's running journey began. Even during the pandemic, we did 19 virtual races, says Jeff. Nothing was going to stop Ona from running. Breaking records. Last December, I joined them one early morning for their 41st race at the Christmas-themed Santa Claus for a Cause 5K run. Decked out in a warm Christmas neck gaiter adorned with little green doggy moans and striped candy canes, Ona looked up at her dad among the crowd of runners towering above her. With a few wags of her tiny tail, she signaled she was ready to go. At the sound of the buzzer, Ona sprinted out of the starting gate, tugging at her leash with all her might, keeping her head forward and focused on the path ahead. "She loves to run out in front of me, so I'm really just chasing her the whole time," says Jeff. Determined, Ona charged along, unfazed by the cheering spectators or other dogs along the path. "She's just so razor-focused when she runs," Jeff proudly tells me. They crossed the finish line, not only breaking their all-time record at 24 minutes and 45 seconds, but also making the podium with a first-place title in Jeff's age category. "The older she gets, the faster she runs," Jeff whispered in my ears as they received their honorable medals. A small wooden rack on Jeff's bedroom wall displays 50 ribbon medals, an homage to their running adventures together over the years. "We'll need a bigger rack soon," Jeff tells me with a chuckle. And you can follow Ona's racing adventures on Instagram at @_amazingona, O-N-A. We've run out of time for today's episode of All About Pets. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Jen Rogers, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. All About Pets is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service. We'll be right back.